all meetings to order. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from last meeting. There's a motion for approval. A motion is your second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Next up, we have a board business, and there are some private updates.
We are going to start the update off on page 3, which is a carryover of the Bayport County Green River Road widening project, and then we're going to start with Kansas Road. The project is 46 feet, and paving are set together. For the Maryland Street Bridge over Pigeon Street, all bridges taken over the engineer's estimate, options for funding are being evaluated. For Green River Road from Kansas to Boonville to Harmony Road, the preliminary field check meeting was held yesterday. Now, in the town of Newburgh, their state-level school project construction is underway, and the current contract completion date is set for December 1st of this year. Newburgh sign replacement project. The proposal has been made to incorporate data collected by TransMap for the pavement management project into a signed inventory for this project. Moving on to page 5, for the City of Henderson, we have the Green River Road project from Osage Drive to Woods Point Drive. Construction is complete, and the roadway is open to traffic. For their Sand Lane State Box Fuel, they are preparing bid package proposal and project development checklist, which will be sent to KYC for review approval. On page 6, for KYC, we have section 351 Vine Road. And according to KYC, the letting date has been moved up from December this year to this month. For the DC Reddit Parkway and Kentucky 416 project, construction is now complete. The roadway was open to traffic on October 28th. That's all the updates that I have. Questions or comments?
No questions, we move on. Thanks, sir. Next up, we have new business, and we have transferring of government presentation by Thomas Smith.
We have a few items that we can fill the phone. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to attend a curb change on Trojan Land Development, or TOD, and square that into a different presentation on that topic, City and Field. So before I start this presentation, I just wanted to mention that a lot of the ideas for acceptance of your exchange were more applicable to very large urban areas with well-established transit systems like New York and San Francisco. But at the same time, I think a lot of the principles behind transit and development are applicable to smaller urban areas. And I think they fit nicely with some of the objectives in the millennial plan. And in the presentation, I mentioned some things that have been done in other areas with transit land development, and also the steps that are initiated and can be applied in smaller metropolitan areas. So first of all, what exactly is transit-oriented development? It's generally defined as moderate to high density mixed-use areas within a half mile of a 1 to 5 to 10 minute walk from a transit stop. And these communities are designed to maximize walking trips and access to transit. And the diagram in the picture is from Florida DOT, and it shows the basic concept of a transit neighborhood where you've got the transit curve within a 4 miles of the transit stop, and then within about a half mile of the transit stop, you've got the transit neighborhood, which is a little bit less intense than it is generally. And it's not really a new concept, although it has received a renaissance in recent years. But this is a picture of a neighborhood in the Cincinnati area that actually started off as a transit-oriented development. And you can see the mix and use for the apartments that I've shot, a mix of commercial and residential land uses, all in a very small, dense neighborhood. And if you look at the aerial view, you can actually see how where the transit core probably was in this area. And then as you gradually move away from that transit core, you get into less than single-family type developments. So what are some of the advantages of TOD? There are actually advantages for a wide group of people. First of all, for residents and developers, we have reduced title dependency, improved access and mobility, especially for those who don't drive, and you also have more productive land use patterns. You can generally get more units per acre, and you have reduced parking needs in the development. As far as the transit agencies and riders, the higher population and employment densities that are within easy walking distance to the transit stops can lead to improved transit ridership, which in turn can lead to a higher fare box recovery rate, and also provides improved access and mobility for transit riders. So just to illustrate those points, I've taken a couple of pictures while I'm taking these personally, but on these. The one on the left is an example of a conventional development from the Louisville area. And you can see the transit stop in the picture is located right next to the six-lane highway. And it's a pretty good distance from any of the buildings. So the people who are at the transit stop that you can see in the background actually work at one of the businesses that's on the other side of that parking lot. And you can see some of the challenges that they have in getting to the transit stop, such as the sidewalk that they're on and a pretty decent walk through the parking lot and across the Louisville highway. And then on the right is a picture of a transit-oriented development where you've actually got the transit line going right through the development, and it's just within a few steps of the business. And then finally, the power agencies and MPOs are also taking advantage of the transit-oriented development, such as you can reduce the vehicle travel as compared to conventional developments, and this can make it easier to meet transportation performance targets and lower vehicle emissions budgets if you happen to be in an air quality non-containment area. And the diagram on the right kind of illustrates the travel patterns in a typical conventional development versus a transit-oriented development on the right. And you can see all the vehicular paths and turn movements that you get in a conventional development that you wouldn't have nearly as much of in a transit-oriented development. So this is an example of a relatively new transit-oriented development in Walnut Creek, California, which is where the Fare Exchange is held. And you can see some of the posters of TOD illustrated in this story of you. The train station, there's a BART station right there, and the transit-oriented development itself it's actually it's very close to the bus station. It's kind of next to land uses, apartments, shops, professional offices. And a lot of people that live in this area will actually ride their bikes or walk to the transit station and then take the train into San Francisco with their additional employment opportunities. And this is a more close-up picture of that development. And you can see in the picture on the right, you've got bike lockers, which facilitates people riding their bikes to the transit station if they're a little bit too far away to walk. They're not far enough that they would actually need to drive their car. So what are the prerequisites for TOD? Of course, one of the things that you need to have a successful TOD is transit. And you need to have a high enough level of transit service to attract riders and realize all the benefits. Generally, fixed driveway transit is preferable, but bus rapid transit could potentially work. And you also need compatible planning and zoning laws, such as form-based codes that would allow a mix of land uses in one area and reasonable parking requirements, so that you're not forcing developers to include so much parking that it just will not make the community easy to walk through. And then finally, pedestrian friendly sign policies are very important. And one thing that other agencies can do is recognize that the automobile trip generation rates will likely be lower in transit-oriented development than a conventional development, so you may not need to design so much for the automobile. So that was an example from the San Francisco area, but what about smaller cities? Again, the opportunities aren't quite the same as some areas that have a well-developed transit system with park-and-ride lots. In the California example that I showed you, that development was actually developed on from a park-and-ride lot. So if you don't have any large park-and-ride lots that you can use to free up real estate for transit-oriented development, and that can only be an option. The best opportunities, again, are large urban areas with high enough population density to support a high frequency transit service instead of the highways. Areas that are designed to be transit friendly can offer benefits even with limited transit service. So this is an example of what I would call a transit-oriented development without the transit. You might call it a mixed-use park points district. So the idea behind that is that instead of with a conventional development where you have parking lots for every single business, people generally drive from one parking lot to the other, in a mixed-use park points district, you would have a little bit of common area parking, so people could park in that one location and then make their trips to school, shopping, work, etc. And these developments actually have similar benefits to TOD, including more productive land use, and better accessibility, and mobility for non-drivers. And if you do develop in this way, even if you don't have a good transit service initially, it makes it much easier to provide transit service in the future. Once your population meets the threshold where it's practical. And then this is an example from the Virginia area of a mixed-use development called Milton Commons. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but it's in the northeast of Jefferson County. And this is an aerial view of that development. And you can see in the center of the development, you've got some pretty high-intensity land uses with shopping, offices, apartments, and then as you move away from that center of the development, you get into single-family homes. But it's still a pretty compact development throughout, with a lot of zoning being sprayed there. And then these are the pictures on the ground in that development, so you can see the shops that the apartments provide. And so that concludes my presentation. Does anybody have any questions?
Presentation. Next section. On the agenda, we've got public comments. And any comments when you're over to this morning? Seeing no comments, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'm Charlie.